What an outstanding morning. We are now set for the message, but I just want to get a quick shout out to our four candidates who have now been water baptized. Tita, way to go. Kelly, Roseanne, way to go, ladies, as well. Kathleen, and family who are here, and faith family, thank you. Give yourselves a hand now for your support. What an enthusiastic role that you played today. And as you can see in the bulletin, you'll know that not only is there life happening here at Hope Chapel, but also inside the bulletin shows that Glenn Kalukakui went home to be with the Lord, and his memorial service is next Saturday here at Hope Chapel at 3. It's the beautiful thing about having a faith family, because the setup of having just life and dedication of children and marriages and just new life happen, and then when God calls us home to be with him. Isn't it wonderful when we get a chance to say, who's going to cry around your grave when God calls you home? You're always like, I hope somebody will be there. And I just, it's a part of life. It's part of living, part of, and so I want to thank you. If you're wanting to participate in the reception, then Donna, thank you, Donna. Many of you, we won't point you out if you either know her or you don't, but we're excited that we get a chance to really help bless Joan Kalukakui, Joan and Glenn, longtime members of this church. Also recognizing, too, that Dee Dee Kakbas is just recovering in the hospital. We want to just encourage you to remember her in your prayer. Mo, thank you for just being here, and our prayers are with you, really are. And we're believing she'll be back in action. Well, if you're not familiar with how Hope Chapel just gets into the Word, we love the Scriptures, and we just encourage you not only to have a Bible, but a bulletin. And if you don't have a Bible, you want to have a Bible, if you raise your hand, our ushers will make sure they put a black Bible in your hands. And the word Bible means book. That's all, the book. And if you want to use the electronic app for your Bible, you'll just see the password is on the inside of the bulletin as well. So let's go ahead and enjoy that. For our guests who are here, I just want to encourage you, while we're just getting some Bibles and situating ourselves, you'll notice it just says, Welcome to Hope Chapel. Would you do me a favor, and that would be somewhere along there, fill out this little simple information, and then turn it into our welcome station. It's a little high-top table. Paul Petruno will be there, and we want to give you one of our Hope Chapel mugs, whatever it takes. We'll put a 20 in there. We just, however, Paul is flush with whatever. But we are really trying to help just our community. And you can see he's a generous guy. He's just shocked him into action, that's for sure. But do take a moment, and we'd love to make sure that we get a chance. Personally, Ainsley, my wife, and I get a chance, because you just never know what ventures of life will bring our paths closer together, and we want to be there. That's our call personally, and so for our community and for this church. As we begin, you'll notice that the service has right here the outline of today's message. We invite people to take notes. There are pins in front of you. And that with that, that we get a chance, because God's going to speak some things to you. We believe that. People have been praying for you. It's not an accident that you're here. You're here because somebody prayed you to say, let's make sure their morning starts off good and that you land here today, because God has something for us. And we've been looking at a series that's entitled Making a Difference. That's the series. Making a Difference is our year theme. How can your life, my life, go beyond the church and just make a difference in society somewhere? And we've been looking at Abraham's life. Man, talk about a person who has made his mark, made a difference. It's Abraham. How he's influenced whole nations with just generations, and especially those who have faith in Christ as their Savior. So as we begin, Father, thank you, just opening up our heart as we open up the Word, speak, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's message, you can see there, it's prerequisite to making a difference, prerequisite. What are those things? Because we are looking at Abraham, who is 99 years of age. You and I have been working through this. This is our seventh week into the life and study of Abraham. And 99 years of age, heard a cute little story about an 85-year-old woman. She went on a blind date with a 92-year-old man. when she came home, she was frustrated. And her daughter said, "Mom, what's wrong?" She said, "I had to slap him 3 times. She said, "Was he getting fresh with you?" She said, "Nope, I thought he was dead." Please try to stay awake for the message, okay? Just hang in there. It won't be long. I don't give long messages. But we're looking here at Genesis chapter 17, and if we were going to take a look at people that just kind of neutralize themselves, we would take mediocrity or settling down, or if you or anybody you know just said, "That's good enough. There's no more pep, there's no more venture, there's no more zeal." You're just like, let's just, and at their workplace, it's like, I just want my paycheck and go home. If they ever get to that point, that mediocrity, that just kind of mediocre, doing things, just lack of inspiration, Abraham is at that point. You're going to actually see him that isn't Ishmael enough. Would that he would walk before you. Let's not go through this again. My son is 13 years of age, the son of my son through Sarah's handmaiden. So he's kind of going through that motion. I'm not really interested in kind of pressing on. If you ever sit with people that are just kind of mediocre, they just don't have any pop. You love that element. Sometimes people that not only get excited about Jesus, but sometimes just new life, people that are born. Love my grandchildren. Talk about new and exciting and ways of looking at unusual things. Just see life through the eyes of a child. Like, isn't that? I never saw it that way before. But if a person is not interested in pursuing anything, they've settled. Went on a site here and they said, this is what could happen when just people at the workplace just settle. Like, it's okay. Let's not try to outdo ourselves today. Here's what can happen. Someone said that 2 million documents would be lost by the IRS. Some of you might say, "Hey, I think I'm still looking for mine." Also, if people are just mediocre in their work, they said that 12 babies would be given to the wrong parents in a given day. That's not good. So you can see that just mediocre, ho-hum settling in is not good. Also, 291 pacemaker operations would be performed incorrectly. Hello, that's not a good thing. And then 2,000 incorrect drug prescriptions would be applied because people are just like, let's not get too into our work. And then I think what's interesting is 114,500 mismatched pairs of shoes would be shipped out. For you ladies, I wanted to add that one just in case. Yeah, you wanted to restore and return. But Abraham is slipping into that. He's saying that, that you, Lord, would just permit Ishmael to be that individual. And we know that we've looked through the covenant that God has displayed to this man, Abraham. Get out of your home, away from your father's house. I'm going to give you this land. And it's a huge land. So he promises him a lot of land, 300,000 square miles from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. All of the Middle East. One day that's going to happen when the millennial kingdom of Jesus is established. And then not only huge property, but huge family. A lot of family members. Verse 6, when we were there last, he said, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." Really? So today, we could literally say there are 13.3 million Jews in 134 nations around this planet, a lot of people. And from Ishmael, his other son, there are 22 Arab nations of 300 million Arabs. That constitutes 5% of the world's population. There's a lot of people out there. All descendants they will claim from Abraham. So God's pretty true. It's pretty amazing. But he gets stuck here. And we're talking about prerequisites making a difference. Because you might say, let's let somebody else make a difference. Let's let the pastor, that's why we pay him. He goes, does the work, and we'll just all sit back and get back to our routine. But here's a man, he's making a difference naturally. He's called the father of us all who believe in Jesus. And he's also called the friend of God. We'll take a look at that in a couple of weeks. Let's take a look here. chapter 17, we're picking up now with verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, and remember we were with Sarai means contentious, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, meaning princess, shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give her a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Let's take a look. First point, what does it take making a difference? Well, first of all, the obvious, permit God to speak into your life. I've listed some verses there, verse 9, verse 15. Also add verse 19. Look at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, it's a highlight. That's it. God said to Abraham. Let's look also at verse 15. Then God said to Abraham. Let's move it on down to verse 19. Then God said. And then verse 22. And he, God, finished talking with Abraham. That's a pretty amazing thing. And I don't know if you have really settled in your heart how much you let God speak to your life. The prerequisite saying, hey, I'd like my life to matter. I'd like my life to make a difference. I'd like to do something a little more intrinsic, a little more significant in my relationships. I would like to have my life make a difference. Well, that prerequisite, permitting God to speak, is so important. I'm finding that Christians, to many ways, do not allow God to speak to their lives. They start off great, it's what brought them to Christ, but then they stop. They put up barriers. Christians can't put up barriers. If you've ever seen a Christian put up barriers, one of the highlights, if they stop trusting God, what ends up, you can tell, they get irritated. They get angry at people. They start actually blaming people. I mean, if God's sovereign, he's going to take care of things or not. So, but we put up barriers to keep that from happening, from God speaking. We might just hang in there with a few good verses that we like, but we never really read the Bible because we may not want God to speak to us, or we go to the counselor or the person that we think will want to tell us what we want to hear. Or if you've ever tapped onto a sermon, you just kind of listen to it to where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to that whole thing. I just get a bit here, a bit there. But God may not have been speaking to that Christian for a while. And you know, I'm always learning. I've shared that every now and then. I mean, there are things I want to be one that repents quickly. You know, that old Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And sometimes come across those individuals that are out there and say, well, you know, I've not had to repent of anything since like 1978. Really? You know, back away. That person definitely not hearing from God. You haven't repented when? So it's important, if you haven't repented in a while, which means turning to say, I want to agree with God, then maybe you could be in that area where you're not hearing from the Lord. If you haven't moved into that area where, God, I want to hear from you, I long to hear from you. Prerequisite is hearing from the Lord. And if you do want to talk to somebody on behalf of maybe what you think is right and true, then you'll hear from those barriers also. People say, don't go judging me, bro. Cut it out. You know, stay in your lane, bro. Just thought of it. Don't do that. They'll say that you're judging me now. That's why I don't go to church. Well, so we want to be careful. Be careful. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. A couple of authors wrote this out there, and they said, many irregular church attendees consistently focus their mind on sporting events, business affairs, or matters of personal interest as soon as the sermon begins. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Many so-called worshipers can tell you what the dress that the pastor's wife wore in the service, but they can't recall the text of the sermon or the application of the message in their lives. Man, if you want to make a difference, God will line you up, but it's really important that you permit God to speak in your life. Number two, portray God's mark upon your life. What is that mark? All of a sudden, we have God speaking, but what does he speak to Abraham? He says, this is the mark. I want every male to be circumcised. And I'm sure, because Abraham, he's Semitic. He knows that, hey, anytime a covenant's up there, there's always a signal. There's always a sign. There's always that. It's like, this is a covenant. What's our guarantee? Here we go. And he's probably thinking it's going to be something great. Maybe an angelic visitation. Maybe a rainbow like Noah got. He said, nope, you're going to get circumcised. What? So in the process of that, verse 10, there we go. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now, God uses tokens. God uses signs. I don't know if you've ever, there's always those that kind of grow in the Lord. I remember that, Lord, if you let me pass this test, I promise to do whatever, And then he passes the test and you shirk it. It's like, I was going to pass it anyway. But God does that in scriptures. Noah I referred to in that covenant. It's in Genesis 9:13. God says, I'm never going to destroy the earth again with a flood. And here's my sign. It's a rainbow in the sky between me and the earth. Now, that's pretty powerful. Also, in Moses' law, the lawgiver, he said, this is my sign with this nation of people, the Jews. I'm giving you one signal sign. This is it. It's Shabbat, the Sabbath. That's going to make you different than all the others. You're going to keep a day of rest and worship. Isn't that amazing? Exodus 31:16. That's going to make you different. You are a follower of God to give a day of rest and worship. So in dealing with that, it's also important. We could take a look at others. How about marriage? A couple devotes their covenant to each other, and then there's always a signet ring or a sign. Here, we have a situation we just saw. Isn't that amazing? New Testament is water baptism. Water baptism. Just like in this setting for Abraham, is that you have a cutting away of the flesh, the old, for God to bring forth the new. There's a cutting that's coming in. God promised that to a nation that came out of slavery, cut through the Red Sea, come into the Promised Land, cut through the Jordan River. For you who just saw the water baptisms, when God's saying to Abraham, those who are going to turn and be a part of this covenant, if they're a male, they will have this signet mark on them. It's amazing. It's not the mark as it is a sign of an interior work of grace in that person's life. I'm willing to follow God. What you saw here with water baptism, today we saw an amazing signal, symbol of those who have committed their lives to Christ. It's what Jesus has done on the cross for humanity, but for these individuals, they're taking that mark I will be water baptized. So water baptism, just a way of a reminder, we recognize that if a person's in the waters of baptism, they're identifying, Romans 6 says, that Christ had them on his heart when he was dying. We, like Jesus, was buried for us, 1 Corinthians 15, so we're going to lay them in a watery grave, identifying with Christ's burial. When we bring them up, identifying with the resurrection. Beautiful Easter story right there. So just like Abraham, it's not so much this particular element of the circumcision. It's really a symbol. It's a sign. It's interesting. God gave a symbol, but the Jews in history have made it a sacrament. So it's interesting to note how important it is to watch out for those areas, because even God has declared that circumcision is not really what he's after. He's wanting the circumcision of the heart. He mentions that in Deuteronomy 10:16. Circumcise, God says, the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. So when I say a symbol, if somebody is having a symbol here, what did they do? Is that must have been joining the church? No. It's identifying with what Jesus has done for humanity, but for them specifically, it's vitally important. And if you've never been baptized, it's really not, you haven't really cut in from the old to start the new. To say, not only is Jesus somebody I believe in, but he's now going to start calling the shots in my life. And it's significant. Jesus was so clear in Mark 16:16, says, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll be baptized. He who believes and is not baptized, condemned. It's amazing how, why? Say, well, do I need to be baptized to be saved? Well, why not? Why not? So what that means is that repentance is say, whatever the Lord has, I'm willing to do. So it's interesting to note in verse 23, it says the same day as God said, he went out, Abraham did, got everybody circumcised. Look at verse 26. The very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael and all of his family. Abraham, 99 years of age. Ouch. So we take a look at this. This is important. So for some that would say, yeah, that's just a symbol, same here. Others would turn maybe the Jewish element of circumcision into a sacrament. What's a sacrament? Well, a sacrament is anything that people just say, you got to do this to invoke God's blessing. So I don't know whatever your sacrament might be. It's interesting because we start talking about the tearing away. For me, I remember somebody said I was baptized when I was 6 months of age. I don't remember it. At my first communion, and I was confirmed. I mean, it's like I'm going to base everything on that sacrament until Jesus came in my life. Lord, what do you want? Be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Name of the Father, relationship to God Almighty. Name of the Son, a place in his church. Isn't Jesus? He's the one that said, this is my church. I'm going to build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against my church. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Empowerment. And it's pretty dynamic to always do what the Lord has for us and to obey. So hang in there and stay true. Say, Lord, I'm in covenant with you. What do you want? How do you want it? What is it? So I would just say a couple of things. What is it that you might be clinging to? Some ritual that you performed as a child. I was raised in, how many times do we hear that? I was raised in church. We haven't been back since, but I've been raised in church. Or what is those other things that you've maybe, hold on, is there a transformed element within your life that is now visibly seen in an outward demonstration? You just saw some dynamic young people being water baptized today. Let's take a look at number three. Prepare for God to expand your life. Talking about making a difference, man, it's sure wonderful when we get a chance. God speaks to you. God portrays a mark on your life. Hey, I'm in covenant. I've done all this. This is all I want. Get water baptized. Start being obedient. And then prepare for God to expand your life. God starts to lay it out to him. And it's interesting because we have Abraham says in verse 18, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." That sounds like a parent's heart, I mean, for love for a child. Lord, please use him. I've had him for 13 years. I want it to all happen through him. I love this boy, Ishmael. Why not? But yet God says, no, Ishmael represents the work of your own hand. That was yours and Sarah's working up. But I'm going to bring a child, and you're going to actually name him Isaac. And he's the one I'm going to bring the promise through, signaling the Messiah through him. So as we take a look, prepare for God to expand your life. Are you in a place of mediocrity? Have you settled in? Are things same old? I mean, sometimes people, they don't want to be challenged. We feel that there's a sense of security, even if we are in an abusive situation. At least we know what to expect day in and day out. But why not trust the Lord? Believe the Lord for something. Number four, prepare for your future and don't cling to your past. Well, that's important. One of the things that you can just recognize here and just a great approach that we have where we have Ishmael symbolized the past and the working of the flesh. Isaac, as we know in types and symbolisms, represents really the work of God's Spirit. Man, why did God wait so long for Abraham and Sarah to have a child? To prove that it was absolutely a miracle. I mean, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, those things usually don't happen. So with that, a work of the Spirit and the way that God has, and Ishmael brought dissension to the home. Sometimes you have to be careful about those things that you work so hard to implement and to establish. Is there a dissension in your life? Is there frustration going on? Is there something that you may have initiated? May have not even prayed about it, but it was a method that you learned or taught or based on. Why not just even bring that to the Lord? Why not even just pray, Lord, are these things that you have brought my life? Is this something that you're wanting? How is my life going? In what way do you have a wonderful plan of a covenant promise for me? It's a great way to begin. Because as you take a look, God, do you want to expand my life? Be willing to do that. If not, I think the Lord loves us enough to let us just stall out. Finish off. Nobody's life's impacted. Nobody changed. But wouldn't it be great that as you prepare for your future, don't cling to your past? You can't change the past. Isn't that true? It's amazing, though, how our past can really stop us from a future that God has because we keep rehashing it. So don't cling to the past. I think Jesus has something better for us right now. Let me pray for you. Father, as we just close the Bible today, Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. And that, Lord, even as we just celebrate just new life and just so honored to be here in your presence, Lord, we welcome what you're doing and how you're doing it. And while our heads are bowed, let me just ask, maybe there's somebody that's here right now and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've heard about him and you heard about the Bible, but how does that all fit? God made an elaborate plan. That's the Bible lays it out to bring the Savior of the world. And his name's Jesus. And it's simply this. All you have to do is just say, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I recognize I need help in that area. God, forgive me. God, come into my life. If that's something that you're wanting to see happen, while our eyes are closed and you want to invite Christ in your life for the first time, would you raise your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor Paul. That's me. I'd like that. Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay. Or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord because you just know it's not where it needs to be. Would you like to just put your hand up and say, that's me. I'm ready to move forward. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Anyone else? Thank you. Okay. Very good. So grateful. Well, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, but this simple prayer goes just like this. And for the sake of these six individuals who raised their hand, let's all pray this prayer so nobody feels singled out. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you sure felt moved, like, today's the day I want to give my life to the Lord. Cutting of the old flesh and let my life begin in the Spirit. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And right now, dear Lord, I confess to you that I have sinned against you and against others. And I ask you, Almighty God, forgive me, wash me clean, and come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord? Because I'm excited. I'm very excited. I think the Lord has worked all this out for so many of us. And you who are watching via live stream, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, would you go ahead and just send us a response on the live stream right there on our homepage and let us know your decision. Watch how we want to be a great support and a strength, and we'll be praying for you. I'm going to invite all of you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this song, and I'll be back to pray us off a blessing.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Defender suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
Well, friends, what a wonderful day. It really is a great day. Doesn't it just feel good? You could go home now or play or just enjoy the sand of the waterfront right there. And it just feels good to be in a place of a house of worship. You watch how God will just, you'll feel good today. You know why? Because you gave God some of your time. It's called the Sabbath or the day of rest and worship. Now God's going to bring you a rest that no amount of sleeping on the couch is going to contribute, but watch. And I'm going to pray a blessing. And just before we do, my sweet wife, Ainsley, would you get our baptismal completed candidates? Would you get Kelly and we get Roseanne and Tita, wherever you're at? would you take these ladies to the front glass doors out front? And I don't know, Kathleen, is she still here? Okay. Well, let's, as you go, slap these gals high five. I think they're dry now. And say, way to go, and just bless them on your way. Let's enjoy a great Sunday. Let me just speak a blessing upon you. And you who have filled out your Get Connected cards, we do want to get better acquainted. But Father, thank you for your goodness. And for those that extended their hearts heavenward today, first, Lord, we pray, let them continue to grow and to abound in that grace. Keep them from confusion or works of darkness that would say, no, you're going to blow it. No, they won't. Power of God come upon them. And that, Lord, those who have heard the word and spent time with us, either for friend or family, or more importantly, for you, O Lord, let the blessings of Almighty God come upon them. Let the grace of our Lord Jesus fulfill them. Let the Holy Spirit sustain them. And if there's any lack in their lives in any regard, Lord, you meet it in such a way this week that they will know that is because of God. And I spent time with God at church this Sunday, that he has come through for me the rest of the week. All for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. You're dismissed. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.